Glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's a God that never fails. Amen. Praise the Lord. Not one time. Amen. We'd be in a mess if he did. That's right, but he never does. He can't. Amen. He's a God that cannot fail. Not only does not, but cannot. Praise the Lord. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost in the house. Jesus is here. Amen. Where the presence of God is, any good thing can happen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together today. We're going to the 62nd Psalm. Psalm 62, verse 5 and verse 6. Psalm 62, verse 5 and verse 6. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to preach today about the turning point. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody say the turning point. Amen. You know what that is? That's a place where stuff turns around. You ever seen a turning point on a railroad track? You know, when you get to the end of the line, they got a little old table there and they turn that engine around. It can only go one way to the end of the track. Then you got, if you want it to keep going, you got to turn it around. Get it back on the track and then it'll go the other way. And that's exactly what a turning point is. You come to the end of the way and you say, I ain't going no further this way. I've gone as far as I'm going on this journey. This is headed nowhere fast. Amen. I'm getting further and further away from where I should be. I'm going the other way. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's kind of like those guys that shot the deer and they were dragging him. His antlers kept hanging up and everything. One said, hey, I know an easier way to do this. They went around and grabbed him by the antlers and started pulling him. It was so much easier. And the guy said, ain't that easy? He said, yeah. He said, but we're getting further and further from the car. Well, you'll get it in a minute. Think on it. What they needed was a turning point. They forgot to turn it around. They just kept going the wrong direction. Amen. Hey, you got to have a turning point in your life. If you're headed the wrong way, stop. Turn around. Amen. I want to preach about the turning point. God bless you and you may be seated. Did you know that a king needs a turning point? Everybody said, kings have trouble. Paupers have trouble. You may be rich. You may be poor. You may be high. You may be low. But all God's children, you're going to have trouble in your life. You're going to have some difficulties. You're going to have some problems. You're going to have trials and some tribulations. Amen. But you're going to have some turning points in your life. You're going to have to make some decisions somewhere that I'm going the wrong direction. I'm getting further and further from where I need to be. And the only way to get there is to turn around. David found himself in such a situation in the 62nd Psalm. Amen. And he starts out by saying, truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. Now you see, he's headed in the right direction. But he's not quite there yet. Amen. He's going the right way. He's made a turning point, but he's not quite there yet. Amen. You've got to go a little bit further. Amen. Some of us are still at point one. We know that the Lord is our only hope. We know that he's our salvation. And we're waiting on, everybody say, waiting on the Lord. Now let me tell you what that means. That doesn't mean that you're sitting around twiddling your thumbs. That doesn't mean that you're sitting idly by saying, well, I'm going to wait on the Lord here and one of these days he's going to come by. And I need a job and I'm waiting on the Lord to give me one. Uh-huh. Amen. That's a good excuse, isn't it? Amen. Well, I'm waiting on the Lord to give me a job. Just waiting. Have you filled out any applications? No, I'm waiting on the Lord. Have you gone out and checked? No, I'm waiting on the Lord. That ain't waiting. That's making excuses. Amen. That's being lazy. Well, what does it mean when it says wait on the Lord? What did the Bible say? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? Let me tell you what it means. Have you ever seen an eagle or a hawk? They look lazy, don't they? They hardly ever flap their wings. You know why? Because they're smart. They have learned the art of waiting. What they do is they have discovered that the sky is full of energy and full of power. And they've learned that there are thermals caused by heat in the atmosphere. And if they can just wing their way into one of those thermals, you know why they go around in circles? Because they're in a thermal. And that heat is driving them higher and higher and higher. That's what the Bible's talking about when it said, wait on the Lord. When we're having a service and all of a sudden we stop singing and we stop praying and everybody's just sitting there kind of quiet going, We're not crazy. We're waiting on the Lord. Hallelujah. We're looking for a thermal somewhere. We're waiting on the Holy Ghost. And when you find that power, and when you find the Spirit of the Lord, it's going to drive you higher and higher. Now, you're not wasting your energy. You're not wasting your time when you're seeking for the Lord and you're looking for God. That's what David meant when he said, I wait on the Lord. He didn't mean I'm twiddling my thumbs sitting here just one of these days by and by God's going to come by. No, sir. He was looking. He was searching in the Spirit. He was waiting on God. I know God's coming. I know there's an answer. He wasn't wasting his time. Amen. He's waiting upon the Lord. That's what waiting on the Lord means. He said, He only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. Amen. I want you to know something about God today. David knew something about rocks. If you're from West Texas and East Texas, you know something about sand. We do, don't we? We know about sand around here. Amen. If you don't, get your truck and go up there behind the church and try to climb that hill. You'll get about halfway up and the wheels go, woof. You'll learn about sand. David knew something about rocks. He did. If you've ever been to Bethlehem, you'll know about rocks too. It was rocky around there. It's arid. And it's dry. And there's a lot of rocks in the soil. Amen. David knew about rocks. When he went out to meet the giant, you know what he took? He took a sling. He took his little shepherd's bag. And he took some rocks. Somebody said he was the first rock and roller. He took the rock and he rolled the giant. That's the only kind of biblical rock and roll there is. Amen. But he got that rock. Amen. With a prayer on his lips and with faith on his heart and with God on his side, he rolled the giant. Amen. Praise. David knew about rocks. He said, the Lord is my rock. Amen. And then he said, He's my salvation. He's my deliverer. He's my defense, he said. Amen. And then I want you to notice this word here. There's something about this that bothered me a little bit when I read it. He said, I shall not be greatly moved. Everybody say, greatly moved. You know what that, you know, the problem with that is that word greatly. He left a little wiggle room in there. You know what happens between you and the devil when you leave wiggle room? You know what happens when you ever had a loose tooth? What happens when you start wiggling it? It gets looser. And looser. And looser. Till finally you can just pull it out. That's what happens when you leave a little bit of room. And David left a little room in that statement. He said, I shall not be greatly moved. In other words, I'm going to move a little bit. I got a little bit of room here. Amen. And you don't give the devil any room. You don't give him an inch. You don't leave any wiggle room there. But David said, I'm not going to be greatly moved. Amen. That's a danger, having some little bit of wiggle room in your life. He'll get in there. He'll work his way in. He'll aggravate you. He'll frustrate you. He'll discourage you. He'll work on you. You just can't give him any room. Amen. Then what I notice is, then David got a little off base here. And he started talking about his enemies. Here he starts out talking about God, starts talking to God, and then he goes back to complaining a little bit. Amen. Now, it's okay, because it gives us an insight into what's going on. He said, how long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall. You shall you be in as a tottering fence. What are you talking about, David? He said, these enemies of mine, these people that are criticizing me, these people that are talking about me, these people that are trying to demise, bring about my demise, he said they're like a wall that's got a big old bow in it, or like a fence that's tottering. One of these days it's going to come crashing down. Now, he's talking about his enemy, and then he goes on and he gives a little insight on what's going on. He said, they only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. So he's talking about his enemies here. He said, anybody ever had anybody talk about you? Why should that bother us? I don't know, but it does. I said, it does. Anybody know what I'm talking about here today? That has ever bothered you when somebody talks bad about you? Amen. Well, it bothers me anyhow. I'm the only one in the house, I guess it does. But it does bother me sometimes. Amen. Praise the Lord. We don't like to be talked about. Amen. But nonetheless, it happens. David was the king. Somebody said, well, the kings have to go through that? Oh, yeah. You know why? Because everybody wants his seat. Amen. You got to be real careful if you're a king. Because people will get close to you just so they can destroy you. Just so they can see what they can get from you. Just to see how they can use you. And that's what was going on. David understood that. He recognized that. He'd been through some difficult times. He realized he was surrounded by people that did not have his best in their hearts and in their mind. Praise the Lord. And so he gripes a little bit. And he complains a little bit. You know, some of our prayers are not really prayers. They're gripe sessions. Shake your head like this right here. Mm-hmm. Have you ever griped the Lord a little bit? That's okay. He'll put up with a certain amount of it. It's all right. God can handle complaining. But you hear me and hear me well. When it turns into a pity party, he's gone. God doesn't like pity parties. He doesn't hang around pity parties. That's right. Now the devil loves them. He never misses one. You start having a pity party and feeling sorry for yourself, he'll show up every time. You start patting yourself on the back and telling yourself how bad you've got it and how tough things are, he'll nearly break your arm off helping you pat yourself on the back. He loves pity parties. You know why? Because they're going to drive you deeper and deeper and deeper into depression and despair and doubt and everything else. The devil loves pity parties. Amen. God doesn't like pity parties because it's all about selfishness. And it leads nowhere. Amen. Well, I don't know how deep David sank, but he turns around here in the fifth verse. This is a turnaround. Look at this again. All right. First of all, he starts talking to his soul. Every now and then you just need to talk to your soul. You don't have to talk to your body, but you need to talk to your soul every now and then. Amen. We're good at listening to our body, aren't we? You know what our body likes? Comfort. Uh-huh. Your body likes comfortable clothes. It likes good food and all of it it wants. It does. Heaven, it likes comfortable chairs. It likes comfortable beds. It likes everything comfortable. That's what your body likes. But you see, your body's going to perish one of these days. And it's not going to live very long. But your soul has an eternity at stake. It's going to live forever somewhere. So you need to listen to your soul sometimes. You need to talk to your soul sometimes. So David begins to talk to his soul. And he says here in verse 5, he said, "My soul." Now listen, he said, "Wait thou only upon the Lord." Now he started out saying, "Wait upon the Lord." Now he says, "Wait only upon the Lord." He's getting focused here. He's getting everything together. He's getting exclusive at this moment in time. He said, "Wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." Amen. As long as you have alternatives, it's easy to not pray. Shake your head like this right here. Amen. Amen. I'm going to get prayer, and if that don't work, I'm going to take an aspirin. Amen. And we'll have the pastor pray for him. If that don't work, I'm going to the hospital. Emergency room. Praise the Lord. And what if that don't work? Well, then we're really going to pray. Yeah. I'm not against doctors. I'm not against the hospital. Amen. But I know that God's our only recourse. Amen. You can pray from a hospital bed. We prayed for plenty of them. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, there's a time that you understand only God is my recourse. I don't have anywhere else I can go. I've gone as far as I can go. I've extended all of my opportunities. I don't know anything else, but only in God. Only in God. Only in God. David was there. He realized, "I'm the king. I'm as high on the totem pole as you're ever going to get. You can't get any higher than this. There's no greater authority on the earth, but there's a greater authority in heaven. And I'm going to cast all of my cares upon Him because He cares for me." Hallelujah. Amen. So David said, I'm going to wait on the Lord and only upon the Lord. And then he goes on, he said, "He only is my rock and my salvation. I don't have any other rock. There is no other salvation. He is my only defense." And now I want you to notice this next verse. He said, "I shall not be moved." You know anything missing there? He said that in the first verse, but he added something. Remember what he added in the second verse? He said, "I shall not be greatly moved." Now we're getting somewhere, David. He said, "I'm not leaving the wiggle room this time. I am not moving one iota. I'm not moving one inch. I shall not be moved. This time I'm planting my feet. I'm staking my territory. Amen. I'm gonna claim this ground. I'm going to stand this ground. I'm not going to move. Amen. Because I've got it." This is a turning point right here. When you have gone as far as you're going to go, and you have experimented with everything you're going to experiment with, and you're ready to turn it all around, and you're ready to give it all to God, that's a turning point. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about here today? Have you allowed life and its circumstances to push you in certain places, and you get yourself in certain situations, and you've had a little wiggle room? "God, I'm going to do what you said unless something else comes along. Amen. Unless I see an easier way. Amen. Unless somebody offers something that sounds good. Amen." But this time he's not going any further. There's not any more wiggle room. He sets his feet down. He sets his face like a flint. And he said, "All right, God." He said, "I shall not be moved." Hallelujah. And then he gets to praise a little bit. You see, there's not any more pity now. There's not any more griping now. There's not any more bitterness now. There's not any more complaining now. He said, "He only is my rock and my salvation. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God." Trust in Him at all times, you people. Amen. And then he starts preaching a little bit. You know what happens when you get a turning point and God really gets a hold of you? You know what happens? You want to tell everybody. I said, you want to tell everybody. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You remember the night you got the Holy Ghost? What did you want to do? You want to tell somebody. I got the Holy Ghost at youth camp, amen, in Amarillo, Texas, 1967. And the first thing I wanted to do was tell everybody. You see, we were at youth camp and they wouldn't let us off the campus. I understood that after working youth camps for 20 years, why that was. Not everybody at youth camp had the Holy Ghost. And not everybody that had the Holy Ghost allowed the Holy Ghost to have them. Amen. So there was a reason for that. But I didn't understand at the time. I thought, you know what they ought to do? They ought to load us on a bus and take us right downtown Amarillo and turn us loose. And we ought to tell everybody in this town what just happened. Whenever you have a turnaround in your life, you want to tell somebody about what the Lord has done for you. That's what happened to David. He gets that preaching spirit. He wants to let everybody know what the Lord has done in his life. Trust in him at all times. All you people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Amen. And he talks about human beings, and he's right. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they're altogether lighter than vanity. Amen. If you're trusting in human beings, your aim is very low. Amen. Anybody ever had anybody let you down here? Even when they had good intentions? Amen. They wanted to help you, but they just were limited. All human beings are limited. Amen. We like to help. I like to help. You like to help. But we're very limited in what we can do. Amen. But we serve a God that has no limitations. We serve a God that has all power. We serve a God that has all wisdom. We serve a God that has all knowledge. We serve a God that loves. We have served a God that saves. We serve a God that delivers. We serve a God that heals. Amen. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. You know, one of the tricks the devil will allow you is he'll let you prosper. I know there's a prosperity doctrine that goes forth and said, you know, if you're making a lot of money, then you must really be doing good. Not necessarily. I don't have anything against that. Amen. But I'm just saying this. Your priority's got to be straight. Amen. God's got to be first. God's got to be first. God's got to be first. It can only be only Him. Only Him. Only Him. Only Him. The Bible said that we cannot serve God and mammon. It's God or mammon. It's got to be one or the other. Amen. When it comes right down to loyalties and allegiance, God doesn't share. Praise God. God doesn't share. Amen. We got to put Him first. Everybody say, first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all of these things shall be added unto you. Amen. God's got to be first. Amen. That's the turning place when God really is first in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. David's got his priorities straight now. Amen. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this. That power belongeth unto God. Everybody say, power belongeth to the Lord. Power belongeth to the Lord. There's two great powers in the world. Amen. One of them is the Creator. And the other is a creature. One of them is sovereign. The other is a subject. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve the creature and the one that's subject? Or are you going to serve the Creator and the one that's sovereign? Amen. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the sovereign God. Hallelujah. We're going to serve the Creator God. Amen. We're not going to serve the lesser. We're going to serve the greater. We're going to serve the only. When it all comes down to it, only God. Only God. It all started with God. It all goes back to God. It all depends on God. Only God. That's it. Just Him. The Bible said He has all power. Everybody say all power. Didn't Jesus say that? He said, all power is given unto Me. If that's true, then nobody else has any unless He shares it with them. Unless He allows them to have it. Go to the one that has all power. Why mess around with somebody that has limited power when you can talk to the one that has all power? Amen. Hallelujah. Also unto Thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. God not only has all power, but He's merciful. He's merciful. Amen. God doesn't give us according to our what we merit, what we deserve, but God gives us according to His mercy. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm a person that needs mercy. I need mercy in my life. Amen. Praise God. All of us, at one time or another, we're going to need some mercy. And to God belongeth mercy. Amen. I don't want to fall in the hands of men when I need mercy. I want to be in the hands of God when I need mercy. Amen. Because God is merciful. God is just. God is righteous. Amen. God is dependable. I said God is dependable. You can depend on God. You can count on God. He doesn't fail. He doesn't change. He's not fickle. He doesn't show prejudice, and he doesn't show partiality. God is always the same with everybody. That's why you want to depend on God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, you've got to find some place in your life when you cast off all the restraints and you say, only God. I've tried this, it didn't work. I tried that, it didn't work. I counseled with this one, it didn't work. I went to that one, it didn't work. Amen. Only God. Only God. Only God. Only God. People have good intentions. Amen. And they're good people. And they're good counselors. And they're good friends. And all of those things. But only God can do some things. Only God can do some things. Amen. And if you've tried others and it has not worked, it's time for you to try God. Only God. Let's stand together today. Praise the Lord. He does not fail. He will not fail. He's a rock. That means He's stable. He's not going anywhere. Amen. He's not going to change with the weather. He's not going to change with the times. He's not going. Nothing's going to change Him. He's steadfast and He's sure and He's secure and you can depend on Him. He's a rock. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's my salvation. He's my defense. He's my glory. You can count on Him. Amen. Anybody need a turning point today? Your back's against the wall. Amen. You tried some things. You trusted some things. It didn't work out. Amen. Down, discouraged. Hear me today. Run to the rock. Amen. Turn your face to Him and say, like David said, amen. My soul, he said, hope only in the Lord. Just in Jesus. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Amen. Praise God. There is some place you can go with calm assurance and with faith.